Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine. I wished our government would spend less money.
Me too.
And make us freer. And we want to talk a little bit about that today because there's a couple of things we'll mention that it looks like the government's getting bigger, spending more money, the debt's getting bigger, and we're a lot less freer if one of these bills get passed that we're going to be talking about. The bill we'll be talking about is the Intelligence Identification Act, which is supposed to protect people, but it's not to protect the citizens. It's to protect the people who are running a secret government so that they never get penalized and go after people like Assange and WikiLeaks and others. So I do want to talk about that. But before we get into the bill and why that is so bad and what they're doing, I want to mention, you know, the big headline, especially on Drudge, it was big, but it is a big story. And I use this as another example, once again, of the falsehood of the big bipartisan fights that go on in Washington. Yeah. I remember putting up the picture of Boehner and Pelosi, and they were buddies, you know, and they fought on, you know, for the public to appeal to their base. But this one is a picture of Pelosi and Trump. And she's, I think we do, we might have it and put it up. She she looks like she's very pleased with the president and they're getting along fine. And they've just planning on spending money. That bill in itself, we could spend a whole program on it. It is so atrocious. More spending, more debt. $320 billion of new money coming out, and they say, this is wonderful. Trump thinks it's wonderful. But probably, you know, strategically, the biggest change they're making that will hurt a lot of generations to come is they used to play games with the legal amount of money they're allowed to spend, the budget limit.
Yeah.
And they'd pause for a day. Some days they'd close it, pretend to close the government down for a day. No more of that. They've just suspended that law. So they say, we'll deal with it. It's, the law is suspended for 2 years. We'll be much smarter in 2 years and we'll actually, you know, cut some spending. So I think that's, a real big fiscal issue. And I wanted to also mention, Daniel, at the same time, about another move on by the president, because you have to have conservative credentials. And when you're arguing the case that you want to expand, and happy with this big budget bill, it has to do with changing the rules on food stamps. And actually, it's a pretty good suggestion. But at the same time, they want everybody to ignore this. They're going to, the appeal to the conservatives, they're going to cut back food stamps. And I always argue, you know, you can't get your credentials that way. And if you shouldn't start there. There are too many big guys on food stamps and too much foreign benefits on food stamps, too much war going on. And so we shouldn't start there, even though this bill, they're talking about changing regulation. It's a good idea, but it's just public relations.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, there's, as you always say, the bipartisanship when it comes to spending, more military spending, more spending everywhere. And I mean, what do you think this is going to do, this extra 300 some billion, you know?
It's 320 billion more spending. Well, it's going to blow up the budget. But it's amazing that they hang in there. People don't seem to worry about it, and the members of Congress aren't worried about it. If they care, they wouldn't be doing this. You know, they would maybe say they should cut something. But, there are $75 billion offsets.
Oh.
And you know how they work. They never. That's to cut some proposed increases or the budget in the next 2 years. Well, nothing ever gets cut. So, no, it's going to get worse and worse. Eventually, though, the markets rule. Right now, the dollar rules, the Fed rules, but every day you read more and more people in the financial community, not just us outside the community, that are saying, hey, there's big trouble here. Even some are admitting that the Federal Reserve, you know, is pretty concerned about it, too. But eventually, the market the market, you know, wins out. When Bretton Woods broke down, everybody knew it was going to break down for years. Henry Hazlitt knew it would never work. But finally, the market overwhelmed, and there was a crisis, and we suffered 10 years of horrendous problems in the 70s. So something will happen. This will close. But let's go on and talk a little bit about this proposal, you know, to make sure that our people in the CIA are protected and never arrested, and they can do and say anything they want. And it's the CIA that's proposing all this.
Yeah.
Some of the one part of it, and I know you have some other things here and here, and you can describe it very well, but the part that really bucked me was it was going to expand the right to have rendition, detention, interrogation. And somebody said, you know what that is? The simple word for that is torture.
Yeah.
So they're legitimizing torture, even though I've always argued they probably have continued it. They're just probably going to legalize it. I think that is the epitome of what a dictatorship is all about. And when I look at this bill and when I look at this law that's coming in and the spending that people have talked about, when did we lose the republic? And it's been the disintegration of the republic has lasted well over 100 years. But these are a few more nails, you know, in the coffin of the republic. When you see this, and you said, when, what will this happen? Well, eventually it totally destroys and people recognize that the republic is gone. And I think that's why we're hearing more noise than ever from the radical left. They're preparing because they're going to see chaos. They want chaos. Anything to cause confusion will open up the door to some type of a Marxism that there's unfortunately too many people in our universities think it's a good idea.
Well, the background to this is back in the 70s. You remember Philip Agee, who was a CIA, undercover CIA officer, who became disgusted at what he was seeing going on behind the scenes. The overthrows, all sorts of horrible things. So he wrote a book, he wrote an expose, and at the end of that expose, there were several hundred names of U.S. covert agents overseas. And so in response to this in 1981, they passed the original Intelligence Identities Protection Act, and that made it a criminal act if you expose the identity of a U.S. covert intelligence officer overseas. So what they want, and the CIA has always complained that it didn't go far enough. They have never been happy with that. And so, talk about, this is about bipartisanship. So they got together, they sent a little email to Schiff, to Adam Schiff, the House Intel Committee chairman. They said, here's the language we'd like to have, we'd like to change it. He basically copied and pasted it into the Intelligence Authorization Bill, and that passed with flying colors in the House and Senate. It's now sitting in committee now. The committee is where they you know, make the bills identical so they could finally pass out. So there's still a chance to deal with something, but unfortunately there's not a real groundswell. Nobody even seems to be concerned about expanding this. Essentially, as our title says, what this is going to do is destroy any future WikiLeaks types of organization.
Yeah, and it's really not been a necessary law. It's been sitting around, and they've only used it twice, and both times it was for the wrong reasons. It was used to punish whistleblowers. One, our friend Kerryaku.
Yeah.
He was put in prison by distorting this law, and the law is supposed to protect people like that and protect journalists, but it's literally going to be made much worse, you know, and I'm sure that the Assange issue has a lot to do with the whole thing on Wikipedia. WikiLeaks, they want to put them all in prison if they can.
Well, here's the exact words of the CIA. I mean, it's amazing to see that the CIA sends language to Congress and they say, okay, we'll just
pay.
This is what they wrote. This is what they wrote to Adam Schiff. Undercover agency officers face ever-evolving threats, including cyber threats. That's where it's interesting. Particularly with the lengths organizations such as WikiLeaks are willing to go to obtain and release sensitive national security information, as well as incidents related to past agency programs, such as the RDI investigation. That's the torture investigation. So they're explicitly saying that this is to prevent future WikiLeaks. Anyone looking under the hood and seeing all the torture that's going on, we're going to deal with this. We're just going to put you in jail.
Yes, and it is very intimidating. You know, there's a lot of noise going around and problems with the internet now, how, you know, some of the social media works with the government. And they monitor that and they control it and they say, well, we're a free enterprise and we can tell people what they can do and what they can put on here. You can't use certain words. And at the same time, they are part of the government. They were established that way. And yet it's almost like never before you had alternatives. What could you do if you didn't like the post office? You know, when it's government, you do it and everybody uses it. But that is part of the problem. And eventually, though, can you imagine if you start publishing things, everybody will fall into this category that they've already, in a way, have done that. They blackball you and they deny you access and exposure. And I think that it could even be turned on its head where what people put you know, on the internet may be used because you've what if somebody called us up and we believed it and know it to be absolutely true and say, America, wake up, look at what we're doing. We're about to commit a coup in some government.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then say, hey, he's not allowed to say that. I mean, he's exposing those poor CIA agents. They might be caught, you know. So that is a problem. This is Pandora's box. And this is a total destruction of the concept of civil liberties and this whole idea of bipartisanship. Because, you know, they say, well, the deal on this budget was Democrats get the domestic stuff, the Republicans get the military stuff. But that isn't the case. I mean, shift is for the destruction of civil liberties.
Yeah.
And they're for all these wars, too. But they're all demagogues in many ways. They're demagogue issue, and they're trying to get political power, which makes this thing, when you're running out of steam and running out of money and running out of friends, it gets to be pretty bitter. And I think that's what's happening in this country today. The bitterness keeps building.
Keeps building. And they're not even shy about it. Here's back to the CIA's justification. They said the narrow definition of covert agent no longer remains valid. And so they want to expand this law to cover not just some guy who's, you know, overseas as an agent. This will expand it to cover any intelligence officer, employee, informant, or agent, whether overseas or not. It basically ends all national security reporting, any exposing, any dealing with whistleblowers. And of course, Gina Haspel loves this because she was herself involved in torture. She was a covert agent when Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri was waterboarded, and she's the one who ordered the tapes destroyed. So she's got a personal stake in this.
You know, as an individual that's dealt in politics and medicine and all, it just still bewilders me on how they do this, and what kind of a mind do they have? What kind of a soul do they have? And where are their brains? And yet they do it with no conscience whatsoever. I mean, their conscience is clear. They believe they are protecting America's greatness, American exceptionalism, and we're the ones who don't know what's going on. So in other words, the last thing they'd want to do is dissect out the original intent of what the founders were talking about when they were introducing to our country this notion of individual liberty, which is totally forgotten. And all these things we've talked about shows the steady erosion of what is left, you know, to our Constitution. And we do have laws to protect the whistleblowers. Sounds pretty good to me that you shouldn't get punished, for telling people the truth of what's happening in the government, especially. And yet that law is totally ignored. They never get protected. And but the people who do the dirty work and commit the crimes and then lie to us constantly and tell us that it's okay to lie. It's part of the philosophy of the CIA that you have to be able to lie to people or you're not doing your job. And you have to, like Bolton says, that's part of what foreign policy is all about, is lying to people. And that will always end badly. We think it was only those people in the 20th century that were the really vicious dictators that did this. And but now we're drifting over into lying, cheating, stealing, and killing. And I would say they ought to look at some old rules and regulations that are ancient.
Exactly. And I think what every American should ask him or herself, are we better off knowing what the government was doing in our name in places like Iraq and Afghanistan? You think about the revelations of Chelsea Manning and of Ed Snowden. They showed us that the government wasn't over there protecting our freedoms. They weren't defending the Constitution. They were killing people for fun. They were torturing people for fun. Are we better off knowing that as a republic, as a self-governing entity? You know, I think it's the question should be very simple. This is what's being done in our name. We need to know it. But they don't want this to ever come out. Because you know why? Because like what we've done and a lot of our friends, a lot of good people in the independent media do, we can recognize the patterns. Aha, they're taking us to war in Iran just like they did with Iraq. They don't want us to know that and to make those connections.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, but I think they have no problems being successful because of the intimidation, because of the power they have. So how many individuals who are, blowing the whistle know absolutely what they're up against? I mean, whether it's Assange or Kerry or Coup or any of these individuals, they knew what was up. And Daniel Ellsberg, they finally get around to telling the truth. And but think of how many have been intimidated, you know. And I feel it, you know, when we deal with our things here. Well, I don't know. We shouldn't use that word. We don't want to wave a big flag, but, the red flag and say, let them come and get us and close us down. But we'll do our best to get the message out that we think the American people want to hear.
Yeah, and the other disturbing trend really is that the intelligence community being treated like saints. And of course, there are decent people that do it. I think about the brave people who took footnotes in a lot of the NIEs, especially the 87 NIE on Iran. There are a lot of good people in there, but the fact of the matter is, people like Schiff, they put the intelligence community up as if it's some kind of spotless, godlike organization that you don't dare ever question. And it's you've always said that, we have a need for some military intelligence. We should have this some agencies, but what we have now is not at all like anything that we like or we should need. So it's a very dangerous trend. It's something very dangerous. Keep your eye on the Intel authorization bill. They're in the committee. They'll have a final vote on it probably sometime soon. This is under the radar, but we need to start paying attention to it. It's very chilling. The final warning for our students, by the way, 24 hours from now, we're going to close our applications for the Ron Paul Scholars Seminar, a one-day seminar with foreign policy professionals talking about U.S. foreign policy. Will we be a national security state? Or will be a free republic? Go to ronpaulinstitute.org. There's a link you can click on to make your application. This is my final warning.
Very good. Listen up. And once again, I want to make the point that bipartisanship is alive and well. And when you hear people saying, what we need is more cooperation, more bipartisanship. Yes, on doing the right things, maybe bringing the troops home and not going to war and protecting civil liberties. Yeah, that'd be great to have bipartisanship. But when you have bipartisanship of the type that we have now, it's not good. But the one thing is, the people behind the scenes, the deep state, the people who control the media and the military-industrial complex, are very bipartisan. They don't care at all about Republicans and Democrats. And half of them go one way and half go the other way. But when push comes to shove, the other day we were talking about the change in the Secretary of Defense. He goes from one big military company to another with close ties. So they're very bipartisan and they're very willing to share, in the loot that is taken from us. But it's all going to end because the country's bankrupt. We're bankrupt in the area of ideas and morality and financial bankruptcy. So in some ways, we should look forward to that because the people who are running the show deserve to go bankrupt and they need to be thrown out of office or evicted. But the big thing is, if you just walk away and there's nothing there to replace it, things can be very, very chaotic and very dangerous. So that's why we work on this whole proposal, that we work in the idea world. Ideologically, we want to present the case for peace and prosperity. And in foreign policy, it's very simple. Non-intervention, mind our own business. Have a strong national defense and be respected and let people want to follow our lead. Why shouldn't we have a society and a country that people would want to emulate what we do? And that is what we need to do. That is what we need to work on. That's what we have a moral responsibility for. So we'll continue to do this fight, and we invite you to join in it. And we want to thank you so much for being listeners and viewers of our show. We'd like to thank everybody for being with us today, and please come back soon.